It's time for You Oughta Know, a weekly conversation about all things automotive with your host, Toby Edmonds.
Toby.
I'm just getting over. Trying to avoid it for the longest time, but finally getting over that cold that everybody seems to have.
Ah, yes. I've known that. So are you staying home today and calling, or are you going to push yourself and go to work?
Haven't decided yet. We're gonna have to see how this one plays out.
Hey, well, this can be considered as something of a test. You get through this morning's session of You Ought to Know. Well, thank you for calling in. And if, as we go along, you find yourself saying, "I'm not feeling better. I'm feeling worse," let me know, and we'll let you go off to rest.
This sounds good.
So I have something here that's been sent to you in anticipation of a call-in from someone who's going to be talking about a topic that is very interesting, and that's the latest issue of a magazine where the title at the top, it's white on black, says driverless cars are supposedly imminent, is driving dead. 31-page section here edited by well-known author Malcolm Gladwell. And we're going to have a chance. I understand you're going to be taking a trip to Las Vegas soon?
Yes. I leave at the end of the month. I'm actually going to be attending SEMA.
Okay. And that'll be some interesting reports from there. And we're going to see if we can arrange, because when this gentleman calls in to talk about this as an interview, it would be really nice if we can coordinate and find the time in your schedule while you're gone to make that call in.
Oh, I plan on making it happen. No question about it.
So that's a heads up for other people. This should be fascinating. We'll give you more detail as time goes on. Right now, I have to say that I know you have something to talk about today, and I just wanted to kick off with a comment about rental cars.
Okay.
And this past week, it was very interesting. This past week, Lee and I went on a tour of some places in New Hampshire and Vermont. And to begin it, we flew into Logan Airport and rented a car and started down the road. And as we started down the road, we realized that we hadn't really checked the car over completely, because there were a couple things. First one that happened was the dashboard was nice. It was clean, except when we tried to put our paperwork into the little cubby for it, it wouldn't open because the handle was broken.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that meant also that inside was the manual for the car and other things too, but that was okay. So we said, okay, we'll go along with that. And then down the road, as the rain started, what should happen but the tire inflation indicator came on. And the little yellow warning popped up. So I said, okay. So we found a place, which is hard to do these days, finding a place where you can get air for tires.
Yeah, you're right.
But we found one, and then, of course, came the dance, because this wasn't free air. Air isn't free anymore. So we pumped the quarters in and started around to see which one of those wheels was at fault. And, of course, the only one of the tires had its little cap off of
the valve stem.
Yes, the stem. And I said, okay, that might be suspicious. Maybe that's the one. And but in any case, when we finally got around, I checked them all. One was about, maybe 8 pounds below the others. And that, so once we got that all filled out, by the way, I'm doing this in the rain. Now, this is rain like
like you've never seen before.
This was pouring down rain out there. So you're doing this but I got it set and it was fine for the rest of the trip. But I was reminding that whenever it just brought to mind that, okay, check everything twice, three times, et cetera. Even a small thing like trying to open, just get into the dashboard to find a manual if you needed that. Because this particular car also had a non-normal, I would put it, location for the gas cap filler. So it went to pop it open. The gas, I knew where the fuel should go, but it was down underneath the dashboard, right next to, there were two little pull tabs, one for the hood and the other for the gas door opener.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't, you would have to, either get out of the car and get down on your knees and look up. It wasn't prominent. It wasn't easy. Very often I find that on vehicles, if there's going to be a remote opening to that little door, it'll be on the floor or someplace. It'll be pretty easy to see, and you just do it. So I'm saying these were, in retrospect, when we finished, the car performed. It did what it was supposed to do, and we finished up. Except toward the end, as we had paid for the gas, we were heading back toward the airport. It looked like it had three little marks still left in the fuel gauge for fuel. And then a number began to flash, 42, 38, 36. And so I realized that, and then no numbers, just a flashing dash. We stopped and got some gas, et cetera. But I realized that you'd have to understand how that particular fuel gauge worked, because even if there were what looked to be an eighth of a tank left, that wasn't necessarily the case.
You know, I think because I do rent cars quite a bit when I travel, and I do think it's a mistake that I've made multiple times, and at this point in time, you'd think that I would catch on and know better. But you know, sometimes when you do go pick up a rental car, first of all, you're making a logical assumption that car has been checked over and it's safe for you to pick up and drive, and that the rental company has done, you know, what they need to do in order to make sure that it's okay to drive. So, you know, picking it up and expecting things like the handle for the glove box to work and the tires to be filled up, I mean, that's all pretty much it's a logical assumption. I have had rental cars where I picked them up in the past where things like the check engine light were on.
Oh,
and
okay.
And I have had them, you know, made them return it. The funniest one, though, was actually it was the very last time that I was down in California. Some friends of mine had rented a car, and it had a check engine light on. And, you know, you have to understand that these are shop owners. They know cars. And they alerted the person, the attendant, at where they were picking up the car, and said, hey, you know, this one's got the check engine light on in the instrument cluster. And the guy told him that they knew that it was on, but it was okay because it just needed an oil change.
Okay.
And at that point in time, they kind of made the decision that, well, if that's the way they were going to play it, then they took the car. And, I mean, it was fine for the trip, you know, trip while they had it down there. Nothing terrible happened. But it was still kind of shocking to have a rental car agency, you know, a place that I think that's their business is cars, to tell a customer that it's okay to take that car because the check engine light was just on because it needed an oil change. So that was kind of a joke for us while we were down there. But, you know, a lot of people, because when you go down to pick up a car from a rental car agency, I mean, it just means that normally that you just got off a plane, you're tired, you're
right,
probably in a hurry to get to wherever it is that you need to go. And very few people do take the time to either look for the owner's manual, if there's one provided, or at least acquaint themselves with the vehicle before taking off. And I've definitely been there before too, where I've been, you know, had to pull over to get gas, and it suddenly dawns on me, wait a second, I don't know where the release lever is. And you do this frantic pat down trying to figure out where they hid the fuel release lever. The ones I'm always amused with where I spend quite a bit of time looking for the fuel release lever, only to realize that there isn't one, and all I had to do is just pull.
Right. Well, maybe we could give hints to people, given the varying experiences we've had and a lot of listeners have had. How do you, a couple of things to look to do in order to increase the odds that you'll have a pleasant driving experience with a rental car?
I think, you know, where you rent from obviously kind of will dictate whether or not it's a pleasant experience. I know I have my preference for renting cars just because I've generally had good experiences with those companies when I travel. So I try to kind of, just like when you have everybody kind of has a favorite airline.
Right.
Favorite rental car agency, you know, that has a lot to do with it. But also, you know, absolutely sitting down and kind of spending a couple moments in the car before actually driving out of the lot
right.
can also help considerably as well.
What about the type of car? I have thought in the past that it's fun to try out new cars just because it gives me an opportunity to check what they are. But I'm now coming toward thinking, I think I might just stay with cars that I'm familiar with.
You know, there's something to be said for that. And I've definitely done that before too. I mean, I'm not the biggest Toyota Camry fan. I'll give them respect where respect is due. I mean, Toyota Camrys are amazingly well-engineered vehicles. They're very reliable. A lot of people really prefer to drive them. My issue comes from nothing more than the fact that I like a little bit of a better handling car. That's the only reason why I take issue with Toyota Camrys. But I definitely will, if I'm not really in the mood to try, I will absolutely pick a Toyota Camry when I go for a car rental because I'm already familiar with it. It's one of the most common rental cars out there right now. Nissan Altimas are, you know, Nissan's actually got quite a few cars out there for rental fleets too, but you can, without fail, pretty much go into any rental car agency and find a Toyota Camry somewhere. So, you know, going and getting a Toyota Camry when I'm just really not feeling like messing with it, I definitely do that too because, you know, like you pointed out, you're familiar with it.
Right.
You know what to expect. You know where everything's located at.
And what's begun to happen as well, and I think this is proliferating across a number of rental car agencies, is the U-Pick. In other words, if you they don't pick the car for you, what they do is offer you an area of a zone where you have the kind of car that will be in your choice. And then what you do with that is you come in and you might see 10 cars and you pick the one that you want. They're all similar. So that's the, you know, that puts the onus on you in terms of what to do here. You know, that's kind of an aspect. Have you found that to happen?
Yes. I mean, you go in there, and essentially what they do is, you know, you pick your class of car or your level of car, and then they just say, well, you can go outside and pick anything from row 15 through 17. And the key's already in it. You just get in there with your paperwork. You know, you drive out through the exit, and the attendant on the way out checks you in and notes the car that you took, makes sure everything's okay, and then you're on your way.
Right.
Even if you are a lot of the bigger rental agencies, if you're a member of their like their club, what you can do is you sign up for the club, and then when you get there, you do even one better. As you drive up, you know, from the shuttle or wherever it is that however you got there from the airport, they just have a reader board out there. It's got your name on it, and it's got your stall number that your car is located in.
Sure.
You bypass the counter and everything and walk right out there to the car. Or if you decide that you get there and you don't like that car, then once again, you just kind of pick whichever cars and
right,
in that,
right.
that area, and you get in there and you drive away, and it's very yeah. convenient.
Yeah, I've done that, and I found that I felt somewhat better because they were picking the car, and then I could criticize. But when I end up picking the car and I drive away and I realize, what it boils down to is what we started with. Be prepared, do your due diligence work
right.
before you do that. Well, Toby, I know you're dealing with a cold. Is there any other thing you'd like to talk about before we finish up?
No, actually, I was just kind of looking at an article that I was reading over the weekend. It was the 30 worst cars in the last 30 years.
Oh, okay.
And it just kind of got me thinking about my best car, because I know we've talked about first cars, we've talked about favorite cars, and I figure we talk about our least favorite cars today and see. I know that everybody kind of has that one story about that one car that they had.
Sure.
And it was just a nightmare. And I didn't know. I mean, do you have a Lisa? What was your worst car that you've ever owned?
I'm trying to think back over the years. Typically, it would be one that I would not have for very long. Oh, yes, I know the one. It was a long, long time ago, and it was a Studebaker. A Studebaker two-door. And I was able to nearly put my foot through the floor.
Had a little problem with rust, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Beautiful. It was a Studebaker, not the Hawk back in the day, but somewhat similar to that. And it looked so wonderful. And I bought it for so little. And it was terrible. In every way.
My worst car was my 2003 Mini Cooper.
Oh.
And that car broke my heart because I wanted one so bad. And I finally found one, finally got one. And out of the 2 years that I owned it, I probably was able to drive it for a total of 1 year.
Oh, okay.
The rest of the time it was broken in the shop.
Okay.
But, you know, there's some pretty good gems on here. So it's an article on autos.com. And it just goes through like the 30 worst cars in the last 30 years. The 1989 Geo Metro makes an appearance on here. The old three cylinder, kind of like a kidney bean.
Right.
Cars.
And some of them are, thankfully, some of these cars are no longer around, but there are a few others. Yeah, so what you're suggesting is that either that article or Consumer Reports or some of the other places that are pretty much able to look over in a balanced way and say, you know, even getting some data that suggests that the repair records, the experienced people, the reviews have been generally terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I hope this has been helpful to take your mind off your situation, your cold, and we look forward to having you full strength.
And, next week.
Yep.
Yep, I will be there.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Mike.
You've been listening to You Oughta Know with Toby Edmonds. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, Big Cabbage Radio, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, this station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.